Good morning. It's great to see each one of you here today. Singing those songs was very, very encouraging, and hearing God's word from Isaiah chapter 40, that was very encouraging as well. We're taking some time to talk about how, as Christians, God wants us to be encouraged. Let me ask you a question. Has anybody here been discouraged this week? I'm sure that many of you have. It's one of the most common Christian ailments that we as Christians can experience. Now, this is a very, very important and serious subject, because if we're discouraged, it means we're not believing God, we're not trusting God's word, and we are in sin. But if we're encouraged, it means we're trusting God, we're trusting God's word. We're ones who are then filled with the Holy Spirit. The second verse of the song, Trust and Obey, says this: Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but a smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Indeed, that's what God wants for us, to be ones who are trusting and obeying Him. My purpose for this time is really fourfold. It's to help you to learn when you are discouraged, help you to learn why you are discouraged, and to help you to learn then how you can get encouraged, and also then learn how to encourage those who are discouraged. Well, today we're going to talk about how we can be discouraged when we are weary. Now, what does this look like? Let me just give you some different scenarios. You've been a Christian for a long time, and you've been doing what God wants for years and years and years, and you're just spiritually and emotionally and physically tired. Or you don't feel the vibrancy, the excitement that you used to feel when you were a younger Christian. And you feel like you're just going along, going through the motions, and it's hard to keep going. Nothing new seems to be happening in your life, in your family, or in the church. And the seeming lack of change is wearisome to you. And you're getting tired of it all. You just feel like giving up. You feel like quitting. You've been trying to help a particular individual, but it's discouraging because you don't sense any change in their life, and you lack the energy, you lack the desire to keep going with them. Or you've been struggling with a particular sin area in your own life, and you're just not getting victory. And again, you feel like you just want to give up. You just want to quit. You hear about errors and false teaching. There's spiritual battles and spiritual opposition that you face. You feel like the church isn't growing. You feel like the devil's winning, and this is wearing on you. You're getting tired. You're getting discouraged. And again, you feel like you want to give up. What does God say is the solution to this weariness? How can we be ones who are encouraged? How can we be ones who are persevering, are steadfast in serving the Lord and doing what He wants us to do? A number of answers we want to look at here today, biblical answers. The first is Galatians 6:9. It says, Do not grow weary in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Here we read that we can grow weary, but God commands us not to grow weary. You see, there will be times when you sense that you are growing weary. Emphasis on the word growing. There will be times when you sense that you're getting spiritually tired. Emphasis on the word getting. It's like the spiritual light, or the light on your spiritual dashboard that is flashing. And God wants you to be aware of when you are growing weary and losing heart, and to take note of that and to take heed and then get encouraged. And the bottom line answer is to be strengthened in the Lord. To go to the Lord, to go to His Word, to trust in the Holy Spirit, to encourage you, and also then to be with other believers. I think of running a race. And if you want to win the race, you have to run the whole race. And so you're running this race, and you're getting tired, and you feel like giving up, but you're not to give up. You're to keep running. You're to run the entire race. That's the only way to win. That's the only way to win the prize, by running the entire race. I think of Paul, and might this be said of us. At the end of his life, he says, I fought the good fight. I finished the course, and I kept the faith. What a great statement. Might we all be able to say that by God's grace as we finish our lives. And so too then, you need to persevere in the Christian life. You need to keep serving God all the days of your life until the end, and then you win. Then you win, and you please God, and you glorify Him. Now, I'm not by any means saying today that we are to be perfect in our perseverance. All of us are but human flesh. We fail. We do lose heart. But this is what God wants us to strive for, to keep going, to learn to keep going, to keep persevering, and to not grow weary. That's what He desires for us. I want you to turn next to Hebrews chapter 12. This speaks of the example of Jesus, our best example. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance, the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes in Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." We understand here that Jesus did not grow weary. He endured. He faced great opposition from the devil and from his enemies, and his own body was but human flesh. We know at the end of his ministry that he was beaten, he was mocked, he was scorned, he was scourged, and his body was exhausted. But he kept going. Kept persevering. And he went all the way to the cross, that is all the days leading up to the time when he died. Then he endured the cross, that he was there dying, that is, he suffered and died for us. That's what he did. Luke 9:51 says, "When the days were approaching for his ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem." He was determined. Jesus went to Jerusalem knowing that he would suffer, knowing that he would die, but he kept going because he knew that it was worth it. He knew that it was worth it. He was motivated because he knew that God was going to bless him in the end. As Jesus went to Jerusalem knowing that his Father would raise him from the dead, he went to Jerusalem knowing that doing what he did, that is suffering and dying for people in the world, that he would then gain a prize. The prize was us. We are the bride. We are the church. That's what he would gain. And he also knew the promise from his Father that he would see his Father again in heaven. It says in Psalm 16, it says, "You will not abandon me to the grave." And this is Jesus speaking to the Father. It says, "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever." And so when you're getting weary, and when you want to give up, then fix your eyes on Jesus. Consider him who endured such suffering by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary, and so that you will not lose heart. Think about what Jesus went through for you. That's the whole point of this passage. Consider him. Think about his resolve, his determination, his perseverance, his love for you, so that then you will love him and persevere for him. That's what he wants for you. That's his desire for your life. And so be motivated, too, by the fact that for you, then, there will be eternal results and rewards and blessings. To keep going in the Christian life, we've got to be motivated. We've got to realize that it's worth it. Let's say you're on the track team and you walk up to the coach and you say, "Hey, coach, what's my race?" And he says, "You're just going to run." I said, "Well, coach, I mean, half mile, mile, 2 mile, what do you want for me?" "I just run." He says, "Okay." Then you say, "Well, coach, what's the prize? What do I get from this? Any kind of, medals or honors, anything?" He says, "No, just run." "You mean run for nothing, coach?" You see, that's not the way it is. God gives us a course. It says we persevere because God has set this course for us. He has given each of us our own race to run. And he will bless us and he will give us prizes. It is indeed worth it to run for the Lord, to persevere for him. Not only that, but we read here in this text that Jesus is the author and the perfecter of faith. He is the one that begins the faith in you, and he's the one that finishes the faith. And so therefore, if we need to have faith to persevere, ask Jesus to give you the faith. You need to have faith in God. You need to have faith in his word. You need to have faith in his promises. If you're going to keep going, you have to have this. There'll be many times in your Christian life when it seems like nothing is happening at all. You think, "God, you're not doing anything. Everything's going wrong here. Stagnation." That's what it seems like. And at times like that, you need to keep believing God's word, even though you don't see anything. You don't feel anything. Nothing seems to be happening. You need to keep believing that God will come through, that there will be results. I mean, you think about Abraham. 25 years. Okay, God, you said this would be true. He kept believing. Romans chapter 4 makes it very clear that his faith even increased. It grew. He kept believing, and God then came through for him. One of my favorite verses in this whole area of perseverance is 2 Chronicles chapter 15. It says, "As for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded." I've thought of that verse probably hundreds of times in my life as a Christian. You need verses like these that we're going through today that you need to think about that will help you to keep on going. As for you, you be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. Two commands and a promise from God. That's what that verse says to us. So important. Let's go now to Hebrews 11. Just back, I assume, a page or two in your Bible. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, 27. Look here at the life of Moses. Hebrews 11, verse 23. It says, By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. Here's Moses. He persevered for 40 years with over 1 million unruly, disobedient, and idolatrous Jews, and he kept going because he knew that it was worth it to serve the Lord. He knew that it was worth it to endure ill treatment. He knew there'd be great riches, eternal rewards. He understood that, and so he kept going. It says in the text, and I love that last phrase that we read, he saw him who is invisible. That is, he had a spiritual relationship with God. He connected spiritually with God. That's what was going on. He trusted his Father. He trusted him. In fact, you go back to the Old Testament, Exodus, it says they were friends. They were friends. And so he trusted his Father. He was motivated by his Father. He was encouraged and strengthened by his Father, and that's why he could keep going. Might we then be ones who learn from Moses and Noah, who went for 100 years or so building the ark? Abraham, I mentioned, 25 years. You go back to the Old Testament, you have these saints of God enduring for years and years and years. Sometimes it's hard for us to endure just for a week, but they endured for years. We need to be strengthened by the grace of God so we can endure in the way they did. They didn't quit. They didn't give up. They kept going. They were, as it says in 1 Corinthians 15, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that their work was not in vain, but as they knew their results. Abraham, of him it said, for he was looking for the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. He was promised land, earthly land, but he was thinking of heaven, what God would give him in the future. That's what he was thinking about. His mind was set on those things. But we continue on. Let's look at other passages that I believe will help us to be ones who are encouraged. Turn to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Help us to be encouraged when we are weary. And every one of us will get weary. This is such a common ailment that we can have as people, be getting tired, spiritually tired. Psalm 127, verse 1 and 2. Verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. There are three thoughts here. First, you realize that, yes, you're to work for God, but it is God who is working through you. It's never what you're doing, but the Holy Spirit who is going to enable you to do the work that God wants you to do. And when you try to do your own thing, or when you try to do God's work in your own strength, either scenario, when you try to do your own thing, or you're trying to do God's work in your own strength, you will, I guarantee you, you will get weary. I've been there and done that. Many times in my life I've gotten weary because I'm not looking to the Lord, not being strengthened by Him. I love what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. I am what I am by the grace of God, and His grace toward me did not prove in vain. But I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. He worked hard, but he admitted that it was God's grace working in him and through him. That was what he said. Second, you're worried because you're doing more than what God wants. Sometimes you pack your schedule way too tight. You feel like it all rests on you. The weight of your family, the church, and your job, everything rests on you. Again, what does God tell us? To live is Christ. To live is Christ. To live the Christian life is Christ living through us. The other verse says the same thing, Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ, no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The secret, the answer, bottom line, is Christ living in you. If you're discouraged, Christ isn't living in you the way that God wants. That's the answer. Third thought here is this. Realize that God works for you even when you are not working, even when you are sleeping. There are some people who think that God only works when I work, that God won't do anything unless I pray. There are some people that believe that God does nothing apart from prayer. That's not true. God works for you, and God works on your behalf even when you are not working and even when you're sleeping. So some of you go home today, and this is probably a good day to take a nap. It's sort of wet outside and raining. And you go take a nap. You say, Lord, I'm done working. I've done enough work today. You take a nap, you're tired. But you say, God, you keep working. I'm going to sleep for the next hour. You keep working. You will. He will. Or you go to bed tonight at 10 or 11. You say, Lord, I've worked hard all day, and you've worked through me. And you say, Lord, you keep working. I know you will. He'll keep working. What's it say in John 5:17? Jesus says, my Father is always at His work, and I too am working to this very day. Understand that. It's not all up to you. It's always God working through you, and even when you're not working, He's still working. Realize that. He works when you sleep. Romans chapter 7, we're not going to look at these verses, but this section in verses 14 to 23 is one of the more graphic sections that speaks about sin and this difficulty, this struggle that we have with sin. And I would suggest to you this, that the hardest struggle that we face as Christians is with our own flesh, with our own sin. That's the hardest struggle we face. We struggle, we fight with this sin, and it's tiring. It's wearying to continue to struggle against sin, against the flesh. There may be fears that you have. There may be doubts that you have. There may be areas of selfishness. Maybe there's impure thoughts. Maybe there's laziness. Maybe there's love for the world. Maybe there's unloving thoughts you might have towards somebody else. And maybe you do struggle, but yet you don't get the victory, and you feel like sin is just getting its victory over you. What do you do? 1 Peter 2, Peter says, I urge you to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage against your flesh. Abstain from them. Abstain from them which war against your flesh, he says. Let us say no to sin. Or Colossians 3:5 says, put to death the sin. Put it to death. So with sin, you've got to keep struggling. You've got to keep fighting. You've got to keep believing. You've got to keep asking God for grace to help you. That's one thing I've learned. You know, I grow older as a Christian. The sin is still there. About 58, man, it's still there. I thought it'd go away. It doesn't. It's still there. We've got to keep struggling. We got to keep fighting, and God then will help us to get the victory. The verses, the last two verses of chapter first, Romans 7, says, who will set me free from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Next we look at a parable, and we're not going to read the parable here, but it's Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. This is a parable about the importance of continuing to have faith, of continuing to pray, to keep asking God for holiness in our lives and holiness in the church, to keep asking God for souls to be saved and for lives to be changed and for error to be countered and false teachers to be exposed and for our children to grow up strong in the Lord, to keep asking. This is part of this whole thing here. I mean, we grow weary, and sometimes we grow weary in prayer. We need to keep praying and keep believing. All of you have prayed for things where you have not yet seen the answer. You've not yet seen the victory. And God says, keep praying. Keep asking. That's what He wants you to do. He wants you to learn this. There are so many parables that Jesus gives about the importance of continuing to pray. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep asking. Keep seeking, as it says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. And what the Bible makes clear is that as we get closer to the end of the age, and we are approaching the end of the age, whether it's 5 years or 10 years or 50, I don't know, but it's going to be pretty close. It says that it's going to get harder and harder. Harder and harder. In fact, the last verse of this section here, Luke chapter 18, verse 8, it says, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? That's a question for me and for each one of us here. When the Son of Man comes, will He find that you have faith on earth? We still keep believing, even though it's hard, even though sin abounds, even though there's more persecution, it's just tougher and tougher and harder. These verses in Revelation chapter 2, which speaks of what happened back in the first century, but I believe are also indicative of what's going to happen in the future. It says here in Revelation 2, it says, "Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast you into prison so that you will be tested. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." That's heavy. In this country, we don't experience this kind of persecution very much. It happens in other countries, other places. It happens throughout history. "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast you into prison so that you will be tested. Be faithful until death. Persevere until death, and I will give you the crown of life." So again, we're encouraged to keep going, to keep persevering. Psalm 100, verse 2 says, "Serve the Lord with gladness." It doesn't just say serve the Lord, it says serve the Lord with gladness. You see, a Christian can serve the Lord, but not in a joyful way or not in a glad way. A Christian can go on and say, "I don't want to do this, but I have to do it. This is my duty." And a person like this can really be, quote, going on for the Lord in his flesh. And he's miserable, and he's unhappy, and his attitude is wrong. It may appear outwardly that you've not given up, but inwardly you have. It's very easy as Christians to spiritually trudge along, and we lack the joy, and the love, the zeal that God wants us to have. This has happened to me. I've spiritually trudged along, weary, tired. I mean, I've grown weary. I've lost heart at times. Haven't you? This is a very good message for me. And I can't but help but think it's relevant for each one of you. So maybe this is true of you. Maybe you've been weary. Maybe you've been sort of just going along, reading your Bible, still coming to meetings, but your love, your zeal, your energy for God is weak. It's flickering. It's declining. And so what do you do? The truth is you've grown weary. What's the answer? You need to be motivated. And to be motivated, you need to be reminded of the truths. The truths about God, which is probably the most important ones. Who God is. That God is God, that He is a living God, not a dead God. He's a living God. He's a loving God, a faithful God, a kind, wise, powerful, holy God. Psalm 9 says, those who put their trust in Thee. It says, those who know their name will put their trust in Thee. That is, those who know the character of God, know that God is kind and loving and wise and holy and all these other attributes of God's character, they'll put their trust in Thee. So you're looking to the living God, believing that He is there. That's what it says in Hebrews 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But you need to believe that He exists. Do you believe that God is living, that He sees you, that He's with you, that He loves you, that He exists, and that He is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek Him? He not only lives, but He rewards those who come after Him, who seek Him, who pursue Him. So you need to be reminded of the truth about God. You need to be reminded of who you are, that you're a child of God, that God is your Heavenly Father. That's what you need. You need to know that you are a citizen of heaven, that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. You're an ambassador for Christ. You need to know these things. Turn to Psalm 100. Let's look at that. Psalm 100. So I want you to see how it says it here. Understand the importance of the truth of God being that which encourages you. Psalm 100, verse 1. "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing." That tells you what you're to do. Shout joyfully, serve with gladness, come with joyful singing. Why? Because you know the truths of God. This is the answer. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. That's the truth. And you go to verse 4. "Enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name." That's what, again, God tells you to do. And why? Because of the truth given in verse 5. Why? Because the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. God tells you what to do, and it's based on the truths of God. And so these truths of God, written in verse 3 and written in verse 5, need to motivate you then to keep doing what God wants you to do. But what else you need to do? You need to ask the Holy Spirit of God to fill you up. You see, I've mentioned this in the past, but let me remind you. If you're an encouraged person, there's two things working in your heart. It's the truth of God's Word and the Holy Spirit. That is what is true. God's Word, God's truth is being believed by you, and God's Holy Spirit is working in you. That's it. We talked about John chapter 14, how the Holy Spirit is the paraclete, the one who's called alongside to help you in whatever situation you're in, whatever need you have, in whatever area that you might be discouraged, the Holy Spirit is giving you. So the answer here is what? The answer is God's truth and God's Holy Spirit. So bottom line, you're discouraged. Say, God, illumine my mind with your truth and fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can be encouraged. That's bottom line. That's bottom line. Let's keep going. John chapter 4. Jesus is talking. He says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Jesus had been walking for a while. He met this woman at this well and he was very tired, the text tells us. We also understand that he was hungry. But what strengthened him and what encouraged him was doing God's will. That is, God's will and God's purpose was his spiritual food. That's what it was. That is, doing God's will is that which is to energize us and to encourage us and to keep us going, keep us doing what God wants. Many Christians are weary because they don't know God's will, or they don't believe that God's will and purpose is true for their life, or thirdly, for whatever reason, they're not excited about God's will for their life. I mean, you think about athletes. You all know this. You think about athletes and they're running the race, or they're playing the game for a worldly purpose, for a worldly prize. It's the World Series, or it's the World Cup, or it's the Stanley Cup, or it's the Super Bowl, whatever it is. And it's just an earthly prize. That's all it is. And God wants to see that we are to serve him for a heavenly prize, for a heavenly crown. So might God's purposes then burn in your heart. God's purposes, if you're discouraged, might not be then burning in your life like God wants. And so don't let the love of self or the love of the world then grip your heart, but rather let the love of God and the love of his purposes grip your life. As Jesus said, zeal for your house has consumed me. Jesus knew what he should be doing, and he was excited about doing it. He wasn't going to quit till he got it done. And might that be true for us too? We know why God has us here, and his purpose is driving us and moving us and energizing us. That's what Jesus is saying here in this text, John chapter 4, is that the purpose of God was that which was his spiritual food and was energizing him and moving him to continue on for the Lord. Matthew chapter 11, turn there. Matthew chapter 11, I believe a familiar passage to many of you with regard to the subject here. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me, that's the first phrase. You're to come to the Lord to be strengthened. The spiritual strength that you need to serve God comes from Jesus Christ. It comes from having a relationship with him, from being close to him, from trusting him, from knowing that he loves you, and then you can be energized to serve him and to keep persevering. Come to me. The verse in Psalm 105, verse 4 says, look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. So important. Come to me. Verse, next phrase, all you who are weary and heavy laden. This verse, you see, isn't for the strong. It's for the weak. It's for the weary. It's for the heavy laden. It's for those. It's for you and for me. Those of us who are burdened with the difficulties and the pressures of life. That's who this is for. None of us, I've said, are perfect. We all get weary. We all get tired. But this verse is for us. This is true for us because we can be strengthened with God's grace so that we can be then motivated to do what he wants and energized then to keep serving him, to keep fighting the fight, and to keep running the race. That's what we need. So important. The final one. The next one, I'll give you rest. Each of us need physical rest so that our bodies can be physically strengthened. I know all of you sleep at night, unless of course you've got a night job to sleep during the day, but most of you here sleep at night, right? You go to bed at night and you get rest. And during that rest, whether it's 5 hours, 6, 7, 8, whatever you sleep, during that time of rest, your body is being strengthened, reinvigorated. And I don't understand the physiology of it, but it happens. We need to have physical rest so that we can be physically strengthened. And so too, we need to have spiritual rest so we can be spiritually strengthened. And Jesus is the one who gives us the rest. And so we need to be ones who go to Him. He wants to give us this rest, and He is waiting for us to come to Him so we can get this rest. I mean, He's just waiting for us. Here we are, discouraged, weary, tired, and we're ignoring the Lord. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's just waiting for us to come to Him. And so you need time away from work. You need time away from your friends, away from your family, away from your projects, away from the busyness of life. You need time away. You must get time away from these things. Be alone. I go to my office. That's where I go. Or in the morning, the back porch, because it's getting cooler now. Or once a month, I go to the Baptist camp there off Lake Magdalen Road, north side of Tampa. That's what I do. I get alone. You need to get alone. You need to get with the Lord. You need to go to Him for rest, for strength. That's what you need. And He'll give it to you. As you are with the Lord, as you are with Him, He will give you rest. And so you then are to learn from Him and listen to Him and realize that He will strengthen you. He will encourage you. He will revive you. The psalm that Steve read earlier, Psalm 86, one of my favorite psalms, one top three or four probably. If I'm tired, if I'm weary, I will many times, go to that psalm, and I will read that psalm, and sometimes I'll keep reading it, so the truth can wash my mind, strengthen my soul, encourage me. The Word of God is so, so important. Listen to what Jesus did. Mark 1:35, early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus went off to a lonely place and prayed. Mark 1:35, early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus went off to a lonely place and prayed. Or Luke 5:16, the same thought. It says, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Do you have a lonely place where you can pray? Are you getting time away with the Lord in a lonely place and praying and seeking Him and reading His Word and singing songs to Him? You need it. You need it. This might be the most important thing we've talked about today. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Then He says, take my yoke upon me. A yoke is a farm implement. I mean, I don't use them anymore. Well, some countries they might, but not here in this country. It's a farm implement, the wooden piece that's placed upon two oxen or two other animals. They pull together this wagon, plow, or whatever they're doing. And the yoke is that which joined the two animals and united their strength as one power, as one force. And when you take the yoke of the Lord, you're uniting with Him and you're working with Him to do the work that He wants you to do. That's what's going on. But even though you're united with the Lord, it's not you, it's the Lord's strength that is working. That's what it is. That's what it is. God wants us to be yoked up with Him and understand that we are to do what He wants us to do, be going in His direction. And oftentimes we have problems. We're yoked with Him, but man, we're trying to go some other way. He says, go with me. This is the way I want you to go. Be yoked up with Him and understand too, then He is the source of your strength. As it says in Psalm 118, the Lord is my strength, my song, and my salvation. As Christians, we're running a spiritual marathon. I mean, it's the hardest race. I mean, you know, people, you get Iron Man, they run 100 miles or whatever they do. That's hard. It's nothing. Their race is nothing compared to the spiritual race, running your entire life for the Lord. It's hard. It's grueling. It's difficult. It really is. I've been going for 40 years. I've got a testimony. It's hard. It's hard to keep going. I get tired. I have been tired. I get weary. I have lost heart. But God helps me. And He keeps me going. Might that be true of all of us here? So what do we need to do to keep going today, tomorrow, next week, and the next week, and the next week, and then into November, and then December, and then 2012, and 2013, and all the years of our lives? What are you to do? Let me just give you five more now. First of all, set your heart to run the race. Determine to run the whole race for God. Say, God, here I am. And as Psalm 119, 112 says so clearly, He says, my heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. My heart is set. I'm determined to keep going all the way to the end. So make that determination in your mind before the Lord. Say, Lord, this is what I'll do. My heart is set, number one. Number two, strengthen yourself along the way. You need physical rest, and you need spiritual rest. You need both. And with that, pace yourself. Pace yourself. You can't do all the work in one day. Learn from the Lord what He wants you to do each step of the way, each day of your life. Learn to look and say, God, what do you want me to do today? I don't want to do any more or any less than what you want, just what you want. Learn to look to Him and pace yourself. You understand pace in races, don't you? You can run the pace that God wants you to run. Fourth, run with others. Not to run by yourself. Run with others so that you can encourage others and so that you can be encouraged by others. There's times when then you need to be encouraged. You need to be with others. There's times when others need encouraging. You need to encourage them. To run with others. And finally, the final one here is fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He's in heaven right now, seated at the right hand of God, and He is looking down upon each one of us here. He is looking at you. Are you looking at Him? Fix your eyes on Jesus. Finally, turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Gary read this earlier, but let's just go through these couple verses here. Isaiah 40, verse 29 to 31. End of the chapter. These are great verses to go to when you're tired, spiritually weary. Isaiah 40, verse 29, he says, He gives strength to the weary. And to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. We get weary. Each of us here get weary, but God is never, ever weary. God has all power and all strength, and He is ready and able and willing to strengthen you and to encourage you. So when you get tired, when you get weak, when you want to quit, when you want to give up, you got to go to the Lord and wait for Him. And wait for Him. And He will strengthen you. He will give you the strength so that you can keep going either to the end of your life or to the end of this age. You don't know. End of your life or the end of this age. 1 Corinthians 1:8 says, He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time that You've given us to look at Your Word. And each of us here will admit that we get tired and weary. We get discouraged and hard to just keep going. We can be trudging along. And we don't have the spiritual energy that You want us to have. So God, help us to understand this for our souls and our hearts. Help us to see this is that when we are growing weary, we need to look to You, because we will grow weary. We will lose heart at times. We will get spiritually tired, but let us not get to the point that we quit. Help us to sense when we're getting tired so we have the sense to stop and get with You and get Your Word and sing some songs and pray to You or get with other Christians. Help us to recognize that when we get tired, we need to go to You. You are the one who can strengthen the weary. We just read that in Isaiah chapter 40. Thank You so much for Your truth. Thank You so much for Your promises. And I just even looked at some of the verses today that talk about this important subject of not growing weary, but continuing on, learning to persevere and be steadfast, serving You. Lord, thank You for each one here. I know that for each one here, there's different things they're going through, different situations, different problems. I pray for each one, God, they'd look to You. They would love You. They would trust You. They'd love Your Word. I pray for each one of us here, God, we'd be doing what You want us to do. That on our hearts is the purpose that You have for us. We have the general purpose to love You, to love the believers, and to love the lost. But God, might You personalize that for each one of us here, and we see how that then is real or to be real in our own lives. So Father, again, we thank You that You're our Father in heaven. We thank You for Your great love for us. Much, much more than we ever realize. None of us here really begun to fathom the great love You have for us. But help us, Lord, to learn that more and more. to tap into you, to know you, to trust you, to walk with you. As it says about Enoch, he walked with God. And so, Lord, we bless you again for your great love and mercy and kindness. Thank you that we can serve you on this earth, that we're here to serve you and to fulfill the plans and purposes that you have for us. Keep us going individually and as a church. Strengthen us and protect us, because indeed we are in a spiritual battle. We can't see an enemy. He comes after us every day of the week. Lord, help us to be looking to you and be together, because we need one another. United we can stand with you and for you for your poor purposes and glory. Thank you again now for this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to mention a few things before Gary comes up. Last